So far, there seems to be, to me anyway, a bit of a theme developing here at the feast surrounding focus and being joyful, but more so focus. And today I want to stick with that theme of focus and really talk about staying focused, brothers and sisters, specifically during challenging times, staying focused on the kingdom of God during challenging times. So this message is mostly geared towards the youth. It is Youth Day, of course, so I did have the youth forefront in my mind while preparing this message. But hopefully there's something that all of us collectively, regardless of our age, can get from this message. So we're talking about staying focused on the kingdom, particularly during challenging times. This calendar year, 2020, certainly we would all agree, has been very challenging to many of us. We've experienced, I guess you could say, historical and even unprecedented challenges, mainly surrounding, of course, the pandemic, which, of course, is still current, still going on right now. I do believe it was announced about a week ago or so, the worldwide death toll surpassed 1 million. So, yes, we're talking about the coronavirus named COVID-19. So to us as adults, I'm talking to the adults right now, it has certainly affected us in many ways. I know many persons have been affected financially during the months of probably, you know, between mid-March and perhaps mid to end of June. Most places, if we weren't deemed essential, were shut down and most people were out of work. Sure, there were government assistance programs, CERB or whatever it's called, but most people, or a lot of people, certainly did take a financial hit. And then you look at the other ways that we, once again, I'm talking to the adults right now, you know, were affected. You know, the isolation, being isolated in our homes and not being able to see, perhaps, you know, whether it's our parents or our siblings, church brethren, things of that nature, and many other ways that we've been affected, us as adults. But how often have we paused and considered, brothers and sisters, the effect that this pandemic has had and is currently having on our youth, on the young people amongst us? Once again, we were locked down from, you know, I guess mid-March till about late June. The kids were out of school. The schools were shut down. They weren't able to, you know, go and, you know, visit their friends. Many of them have very close relationships with, you know, their young folks or young friends in the church. And, of course, church was shut down, only virtual services happening. How has this pandemic affected our young people? Because it's been, once again, a very, very difficult year. And sometimes we may overlook the impact that all that's happening is having on our young people. So to kind of set the stage for what we want to discuss today, I'm going to ask, I believe Cody is going to assist here, our young people in particular, the youth. So anyone who wants to identify as a youth, perhaps between the ages of maybe, you know, 5 to, you know, 30, there's different segments of young people, different segments of youth. I do want to ask the question. We will pass the microphone around. And please keep your mask on. We can certainly hear you through your mask with the microphone. And the question is, let's hear from the young people. Let's hear directly from the young people. How has this crisis, how has this pandemic affected you personally? What are some of the challenges that you have faced in the past few months? What are some of the challenges that you're facing right now. So once again, specifically relating to coronavirus, to the pandemic, and everything that comes with it, and sure, we will all agree that there's a lot of good that has come out of the pandemic, of course. We want to focus on the other side, the challenges, and some of the adverse ways that we, and we're talking the young people, have been affected by this virus. So if we have any volunteers, or perhaps if we can hear from maybe 3 to 5 of our youth who aren't shy to share their perspectives, if I could actually ask maybe Bruce to control the camera to maybe so that those that are tuning in live can hear and, or can see those who may be responding. But once again, the question is, how has or how is this pandemic affecting you? Go ahead.
So even though we have, I guess, Zoom, like, services and stuff like that, and we can see our brethren, like, we haven't hugged anyone in a long time, and I guess, like, a physical relationship with lots of brethren is really needed, personally.
I'll hug you later. Very good. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's hear from some more of our young people. How has this pandemic affected you? What are some of the challenges that you have faced over the past few months?
Well, I was in a university program last year, and I had decided to switch to college because I wanted something more interactive. I wanted something where I would get to know the other students and build more of a bond with them. And unfortunately, that's a bit harder now because everything is made online. So I feel like I made that switch, the big switch from university to college, kind of for not nothing, but obviously it wasn't working out for me before. But I do feel like whatever the reason was that I switched isn't being fulfilled.
Okay. Thank you very much for sharing. I appreciate that. We have one in the middle there.
Hello. Okay. I feel like some of us career-wise may have a pause a bit. Some of us may have been trying to do internships or pursue our career, and some that's kind of put on hold because we're not able to do that. Some of us don't even have jobs at this time. So that's something that's definitely affected us.
Absolutely. Thank you. Maybe a couple more. Young people. Perhaps we can hear from somebody maybe under the age of 12. Perhaps one of my children at the far back left. Oh, yeah, no pressure. Cody, why don't you go to the back there, and maybe my daughter Jerusalem has something to say.
COVID-19 affected me because you can't see your, like, friends that often. And, like, family members, you used to always be able to see them, like, at least once a week. And we can't do that anymore.
Okay. Thank you very much. Maybe one more. Anyone else? Young people? How the pandemic has affected you? All right. We have Ezra over here.
Well, one way pandemic has affected me, I haven't been able to cross the border to see my sister and her family, and neither has my parents. So that's, I guess, one way it's affected me.
Okay. Thank you very much. So we'll pause there for now. Thank you very much, young people, for sharing. And let us, as older and more mature adults, acknowledge certainly that it's not just us who is being affected by the pandemic, but the younger ones amongst us too. And let us encourage them and, of course, pray for them. And later on in the message, we'll have the microphone passed around again. I want to actually hear from some of the mature adults here in the room to perhaps briefly share some words of encouragement with our young people. Turn with me to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Now remember, we're talking about, brothers and sisters, staying focused on our calling during difficult and uncertain times. And one of the two matters surrounding the pandemic, there really is, I guess you can call it, a fear factor. And the tendency to turn legitimate concern into illegitimate worry. And it's important that we understand the difference. We ought to be responsibly concerned because, of course, the virus is real. Of course, we have to be concerned about physical distancing and washing our hands and what we do and where we go and who we associate with. But worry is when the situation is controlling you and you are no longer controlling the situation. Worry is concern gone wild or gone haywire, gone out of control. Worry tells you, you know, you can't sleep now. It keeps you up. Worry perhaps makes your heart palpitate. It makes you sweat. It begins to, you know, control and dictate your well-being, your physical well-being, your mental well-being, emotional well-being. And with this, when this happens, you've pretty much crossed the line from legitimate, responsible concern to illegitimate worry. God, the God that we serve, He certainly allows us or allows for us to be concerned, to have concerns, but He does not want us to worry. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet the heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to its stature? Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But what? Here it is. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Focusing on our goal, our priority, seeking first the kingdom of God. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And of course, we will recall the words of Christ on the boat to His disciples. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? So just like Jesus, let us be comforted in the fact that we have a Father. Let us be comforted, brothers and sisters, in the midst of troubling times and crisis situations, that we have a Daddy, an Abba Father, who loves us, who cares for us, who's our provider, who's our protector, who is everything and everything that we need. See, I believe that God is speaking to us in an even more powerful way during this time of crisis, or during any time of crisis in general. And I believe that one of the things that God is saying to all of us, both young and the elderly, is that I need your full and complete undivided attention. I need your full, complete, and undivided attention. I need you to refocus and to make Matthew 23, verses 33 to 39, a priority. Let's read it. Matthew 22, verses 37 and 39. And of course, this is the greatest commandment in the law. Matthew 22, verses 37 and 39. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. God allows crisis to occur. When we read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, there are bumps, there are hiccups, there are all types of stories, scenes, scenarios, things that occurred, crisis situations from cover to cover. But crisis, brothers and sisters, has a way, if you think about it from this perspective, of producing caring, people helping people. Crisis is an opportunity for caring, not fearing. Let me repeat that. Crisis is an opportunity for caring, not fearing. And this is kind of zoning in on the second great commandment, loving our neighbors as ourselves. I want to read here, this is an online statement, it's from a church organization regarding their response to the pandemic that I found very enlightening. I just want to share it with you here. It says, "Every need in the world is an open door to share God's love. That's why, as a church family, we're responding to the COVID-19 crisis not by panicking or hiding out of fear, but by serving the people who are most vulnerable. No matter how frustrating, confusing, or scary this crisis gets, fear does not have the final say. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Our hope is built on the perfect love of Jesus Christ. So we've been called to share that love with the world. And that's exactly what we'll be doing, it says here, in the coming weeks and months, as more and more people in our community are in need." So a lot we can gather and learn from that. And I know that many of us, I'm talking to the adults here, have certainly taken the opportunity during the past few months to check up on, you know, whether it's friends, family members, of course, brethren in the faith, I know that some are going out of their way to, you know, even do grocery shopping for, you know, the elderly among them, which is great. Because we certainly cannot allow fear, or any other obstacle for that matter, to affect how we serve our God and how we serve our fellow man. We just read the Great Commandments there. We have to be laser focused on our ultimate destination and what we need to do to get there. So when I say our ultimate destination, of course I'm talking about the kingdom of God, and then, of course, New Jerusalem. And when I say focus not just on the destination, but what we have to do to get there, I'm speaking about the commandments and obedience and what God expects of us. Now, of course, we all know that there's nothing that we can actually do to enter into the kingdom of our own. We are not saved by our works. However, obedience certainly plays a major role in the process of salvation. God has rules, he has provisions, he has expectations for all of his people. And they're outlined in the Ten Commandments, and we just sum them up by reading the two greatest commandments. Well, I encourage every single one of us, both young and the elderly, to continually ask God, especially during times of crisis, what do I need to change in my life? What do I need to change in my life? Because oftentimes when we see situations, and, you know, specifically we're talking about, you know, the pandemic and the coronavirus, and we see images and we hear things on the news, we see the numbers going up and up and all of these different things, we seem to have somewhat of an external view of the world and what's going on, and we're looking at other people and we're observing and this, that, and the other. But I believe that this is a perfect opportunity, brothers and sisters, for us to do what? To look at the man in the mirror. To look within ourselves, and once again, to ask that question, what do I need to do, or what can I change in my life? Acts chapter 9. Staying focused on Christ, focused on the kingdom during difficult times. So here in the book of Acts is the account of Saul's conversion. So this is when he went from Saul to Paul. So from a man who would terrorize and arrest followers of Christ to a man who went on to play a very pivotal role in the advancement of the gospel message. But we'll often look at this passage of Scripture as it pertains to Saul's unprecedented conversion, which it certainly was, most certainly was. But I want to look at this here from the context of staying focused and doing the will of God, once again, despite our fears. So when we're in a crisis situation, and there's fear that surrounds us, which is a natural human emotion, I want to look at this in the context of staying focused on our calling, staying focused on what God expects of us, despite our fears. So Acts 9, verse 10, so this is where Ananias baptized Paul. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man, Ananias, coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So, of course, this was after the fact when Saul, you know, he was riding, he was knocked down, and, you know, he was blinded. So we know what happens earlier on in the chapter. And this is where Ananias got involved after the Lord visited him. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." So what we see here, brothers and sisters, is a prime example of F-E-A-R, fear. So I want to use an example, and maybe some of the young people can relate to this. Think about somebody in your school who is a bully. Someone who's a bully who, you know, beats people up and kind of terrorizes all of the other kids. Maybe everyone is intimidated or afraid of them. And then all of a sudden, one day, you see this person who once again terrorizes the whole class, maybe the whole school. All of a sudden, the next day, you see that young boy or that young girl, it's usually a boy, and they're a completely different person. They've completely shifted their thoughts, their actions, they've completely changed. In fact, perhaps they've changed so much that the other bullies who are bullying other people in the school, you know, they are defending the other students, perhaps even you, from the other bullies, when remember, previously, they were the head bully. So we're talking about a complete, I guess you would say 180, a complete change. So this is exactly what was happening here with Saul. Because Ananias and the disciples and all of the believers, once again, they knew Saul as a bully, as a real tough guy, and his main objective was to terrorize the people of God, specifically the followers of Christ. And not just terrorize them, but imprison them, to throw them in prison. And here is the Lord visiting Ananias and telling him to have, you know, some dealings here with this man, this Saul. Verse 15. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." So the Lord is telling Ananias of the great plans that he has for Saul, who would of course later become Paul. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hand on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And then as we go to verse 20, we see Saul's ministry beginning to preach the gospel. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So once again, using the example, you know, you have the head bully, the main bully in school, who's bullying and terrorizing all the kids, and then the next day, you know, it's a complete 180, they're a completely new person, and they're teaching or talking about, you know, anti-bullying and how bullying is wrong, and we shouldn't be doing that, and treating others with love and respect. Verse 21, Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is indeed the Christ. And then we see fear seeping in verse 23. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, Saul. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. So once again, Saul, who was the biggest persecutor of followers of Christ at that particular time, and then here he is now preaching the gospel of Christ, once again, a complete 180. So Saul, of course, he had very close relations with, the Jews and the high priests, and they were working, of course, in conjunction because he had authority to arrest them and put them in jail. Saul did. So now that he has changed and he is now supporting this Jesus the Christ and preaching that Jesus is the Christ, they, you know, were seeking to kill him. So not only, as we read earlier, there was fear surrounding Ananias to have any kind of associations or dealings with Saul, but here we have Saul himself who is fearful. Saul who is in a fearful situation for his life. So continuing here, verse 26, we see Saul at Jerusalem. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. So I want us to think about that. Once again, going back to the example of a bully, you see somebody who you've known for a long period of time that was one way, a bad way, and all of a sudden they convert, they change. I believe it's our human nature to be skeptical, to not totally believe that this person is sincere, to believe that maybe this is some kind of a ploy, some kind of a plot to, you know, capture them and to, you know, arrest them and kill them and things of that nature. Once again, fear. The people were afraid. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and he had spoken to him how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out of Tarsus, of course, for his safety. And we'll finish up here in verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace. They had peace and were edified and walking in the right kind of fear. Not the scared fear, in the reverence of the Lord, and in the comfort, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And they were multiplied. Amen and praise the Lord. Once again, brothers and sisters, we are talking about staying focused on Christ, staying focused on the kingdom, staying focused on our calling, despite crisis amongst us, despite our fears. Ananias and the brethren in Jerusalem, they were terrified of Saul. But Ananias had a direct order to go to Saul, to lay hands on him, and ultimately to baptize him and to welcome him into the ministry, into the brotherhood. He was afraid. He was scared. But he didn't allow that to prevent him from doing what God commanded him to do, what God led him to do. Same thing with Saul. Saul was terrified of the religious leaders, the high priests, who he was once in cahoots with. Once again, he totally changed his life. He did that 180. But the Lord visited him. He went through that traumatic experience, you know, being blinded for 3 days and everything he experienced. God had a special calling for Saul, which eventually, of course, became Paul. And despite his fear, because I would imagine he was very fearful for his life. I mean, you would be scared too, I'm sure, if, you know, persons were trying to capture you and to kill you. But despite that, he was laser focused on his goal. He was laser focused on his calling. He was laser focused on what God had him to do. Don't need to turn there, but in 2 Timothy 1, verses 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Amen. Amen. Now, earlier we heard from the young people, from the youth who shared some of their challenges, some of the things that they've experienced during the pandemic. If I can call one of you once again to come forward, I'd like to hear from a few of the mature adults here in the room just some words of encouragement for our young people in consideration of, once again, staying focused on Christ, staying focused on the kingdom of God during times of crisis. There's one thing I want us to definitely understand. What we're experiencing and what we're going through right now with specifically, you know, this virus, this pandemic, you know, this coronavirus, COVID-19. And I'm not downplaying the virus at all. The virus is real, despite what people may want to say or believe. The virus is real. It's very real, in fact. However, I'm sure most of us would agree, and this is biblically, of course, there is going to come a time, we don't know when there's going to be such severe plagues, such severe viruses and other kinds of other types of calamity right here on this very earth that perhaps we will look back and we will literally be begging to have times like 2020 when, you know, we have to meet in the way that we're meeting, have the seats set at a certain distance, we're all wearing our masks or our face shields. Rough times are coming. Tough times are coming. And if we're fearful now, if we're not able to truly be focused on our calling and on the kingdom and the things that we have to do now, what's going to happen later on when things really start to, you know, the pot really begins to stir and things really do get rough? I mean, you just read the book of Revelation and we know what's going to unfold in the future. We must stay focused. So I just want to, if we can pass the microphone, and once again, this is for the mature adults here. We just want to perhaps share a few words of encouragement, perhaps maybe even a testimony. We can maybe talk about the flip side of some of the positives that have come out of, you know, everything that we've experienced in the past few months, I guess beginning in the middle of March. And this is mostly geared towards the young people. So go ahead. Who's first? Well, I will call names. Okay, we have, I believe, Teresa.
So some of the the positive things because we've been confined in homes, not being able to go out and do what we normally do. We have been able to study a little bit more and read a little bit more of our Bible, and we've played a lot of games in our family bubble at home, so we spent a lot more time with each other. Those are positive things.
Absolutely. Thank you. I think we had one over here. Peter?
Yeah, so I was not an essential service with my work and that, so sat at home for 3 months, and it was a great opportunity to redeem the time that the Word speaks about and to study more in depth into God's Word, and it created a more of a focus, and with more understanding, more time to pray, more time to focus on your calling. So it was good for me.
Thank you very much. Let's get a few more. Do we have Rose on the side there? Okay, sure.
Two weddings, two daughters that left the house. And then Bruce, our youngest, went to work in Ottawa. And then my husband just retired and had to work 12 hours, like even like 12 nights straight because of pandemic. No people can work. And in my place, it's a need. So I have a husband at home by himself, and then kids everywhere. So I just keep praying how God will keep us together, even in just prayers. And then we don't have the services. So we have services from, like, at home. And then we try to stay focused on that. And all our prayers is just to, like, everyone, brothers and sisters, to stay focused. And then we have to... There will be a time that we can get together again like this. So this is the answered prayers that we all get together even with the pandemic. And the best part of that is I can see, like, a family that's true, that they can stay together more and read the Bible and more family time. And it's just a great time that we are all here together.
Excellent. Thank you.
I found the pandemic as a blessing. Now, that may sound bad, but to some people, but the pandemic does not discriminate. Everyone is affected, whether you are the top or the least among, you know, others. Another thing, that the world was going around so noisy, even with traffic here, there, and everywhere. And for the first couple of weeks, things were quiet. Mm. And I even thought I was back in Jamaica as a kid. Very, very quiet. And I say that is definitely a blessing. And you know the way the Bible says, we lie down, we play and lie down, then we wake up and play again. Even the prayers, the playing was ceased. So I had a lot of time to read my Bible and to really focus on the plagues to come and what we need to do and how we need to be prepared, you know, for those days that will come, because we know they will be here. And so I know that it affects the kids that cannot go to school and see their peers. But at the same time, you know, they get to bond a little more with their parents and with their siblings. And that, too, is a blessing because, really, we are too busy in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Life was not supposed to be like this, go, go, go. We need to sit down sometimes and focus and, you know, reflect on what is life and what is man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Be Stefan over here.
Through all the pandemic, what I've enjoyed through it is the fact that people have been more aware of the laws of quarantine where they wouldn't before, proper hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
And since this whole thing started up, Sandy and I personally have not been sick. Have been feeling good through the whole deal, so
praise
that's because of things have been kept under more control. I can't say I've enjoyed the pandemic, but that is a positive aspect that's come out of it for us.
Thank you very much. Maybe you have one or two more. Once again, any words of encouragement for the young people or you want to share? Oops.
Just a word of encouragement would be that it's when we go through challenges, the challenges help to build character in us. And it's really not what is happening, but how we deal with what is happening in our lives. So I just want to encourage young people to stay focused and just continue doing the things that you know are right, are the right things to do, and you'll be fine.
Excellent.
On that same thread, encouragement for the youths and young people in general, it is important to focus on God and to remember what was written in the scriptures concerning Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Mm.
They were taken as young, as youths, but they remembered what they were taught. As a result, when the furnace was heated, they said, we will not serve your gods, O king. The God that we serve will save us from the furnace. But if not, you know, we will not bow down. So they were convicted because they knew who God was. And they kept that focus in their minds. And as a result of that, they were delivered.
Excellent. I think we have one up here, Cody. One at the front here. Maybe one more at the back, and then that should be it.
I just wanted to tell our young people that life is full of change. Always. It's the only constant in life, it seems. But we should always keep God as that one constant. And the change, your life evolves, it changes constantly. But our one constant should be God.
So we have one more at the back, I think, Pauline.
Thank you. I was very happy for the lockdown, not for the COVID, but for the lockdown. It was a great time of healing before that God healed me from very dangerous sickness. And it was just the time the COVID, the lockdown happened, I get to rest. And I just want to encourage people that during your time of rest, you're able to focus on what is it that I didn't get to do, what is it I didn't get to accomplish. I was able to catch up on a lot of craft, art, home projects, like, you know, painting my home and doing a lot of things that I didn't get to do when I was, you know, rushing. And I'm very happy that a lot of families were able to slow down and spend time with each other. And when I go about outside, especially the laundry room, and people are panicking, oh my God, I just can't get to work. And I said, you know, when you are working, you never had time for your children, right? I said, yeah. But now that you are not working, don't panic, because if you panic, then your children will believe that they don't deserve your time. you need to give them time to play with them, talk with them, love them, show them love, because they never had that before. So this is your time to thank God that you're alive, and really be cheerful and find cheerful things to do, because they were really panicking, as if they know they weren't happy running around and working every day. So now that they're forced to stay home, why are they pretending that they're unhappy, that they can't run out to, you know, work? So take the time to really slow down. We were forced to slow down, like what Rose said. We had to slow down. We were head-on collision against ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I believe God allowed this to happen to let people know. And then at the same time, everybody was forced to keep Passover in their homes. So I see it as a blessing. God is trying to say, look, you know, slow down, and I want to talk to you. I want you to hear my voice. You know, so they were forced to keep Passover one time. The whole world forced to keep Passover one time in their home. So I just want to thank God for the lockdown, that people get time to heal and restore. It's a refresh button being pressed.
Right. Amen. Thank you very much. So thank you, everybody, for your feedback, your responses. Hopefully, the young people, the youth, were paying close attention there to those words of encouragement and those testimonies. For me also, and I'll just pick up where our sister Pauline left off there. I was also very grateful for the lockdown. Of course, not grateful for, you know, the virus, the pandemic, but just to put everything, you know, on pause and allow, you know, me personally and my family to, you know, really refocus. And I think, you know, interestingly, you know, strategically, the lockdown occurred just shortly before the spring holy days. So it brought a new sense of focus, if you will, you know, on, you know, the Passover season and into the days of unleavened bread. And I'll tell you this, you know, back in March and even April, as, you know, we were starting to learn more about, you know, the virus, and obviously there was a lot of uncertainty and this and that, and we didn't know what was going to happen. You know, the numbers are going up, things are getting shut down, different things happening as we tune in the media. One of my, you know, concerns, and then later became a prayer, was, and I'm sure, you know, many of you can relate to this, was, are we going to be able to have a feast this year? You know, I was concerned. Many of us, you know, let's just talk here. You know, this gathering, this annual gathering here, this holy time, the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, we look forward to this. It's really the highlight of our year, is it not? The highlight, you know, of our calendar year. And there was a lot of uncertainty, because obviously it depended on, you know, what was happening with, you know, the numbers and, you know, the governing officials who make the call as far as, you know, gatherings and religious gatherings and things of that nature. And let me just say, and I know I speak for all of us here, just what a blessing it is with everything that has happened and things that are still going on, that, you know, we do have the opportunity to be here to serve God and to serve each other and to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. But as I said, for me, it was really a great opportunity, you know, heading back to March to really, you know, put things on pause. You know, we live this hustle-bustle life where we're constantly on the go, we're constantly doing this, we're constantly doing that. Even for me, myself, who most of you who know me very well, you know I'm a man who loves sports. You know, I do have, you know, a media company, and we do, you know, we have a sporting podcast and things of that nature. And going back to March, you know, everything was shut down. All the sports leagues were shut down. There was no basketball, no football, baseball, none of that stuff. And it really just allowed, you know, I'm just speaking for myself, me in particular, to just put things in a certain perspective as far as, you know, what's really important? What is my true calling? What should I really be focused on? What matters the most in this world? And once again, going back to, you know, what we're discussing here, in terms of focus and staying focused on God, focused on our calling, particularly in a time of crisis. As I wind down here, and this is mostly for the sake of the young people, I want to share quickly five actionable steps in staying focused on God. Five actionable steps and staying focused on the kingdom. Because it's one thing for us to, you know, encourage and to say to the young people, okay, you gotta focus, stay focused and this and that. Don't be afraid, don't have fear. But let's see if we can actually put some actionable steps to this word focus so we can really bring it home. And I'll kind of zip through these, you know, somewhat quickly here for the sake of time. But point number one is begin the day with God. Begin your day with God. Thank Him for waking you up in the morning, for blessing you to see another day. It might seem like something so trivial, so small, but the reality of the matter is, because of this, once again, hustle and bustle life that we live, and we're always constantly on the go, and sometimes, you know, you'll wake up early in the morning, you'll set your alarm clock, as soon as it goes off, it's like, go, because you gotta get in the shower, you gotta have your breakfast, you gotta get out the door and go to school, or whatever it is that you have to do. But even if we could get up a little bit earlier, and spend some time in the morning, kicking the day off, starting the day off the right way, by inviting God into our lives, asking Him to bless our day, and of course, once again, thanking Him for the gift of life, for waking up to see another day. Because of course, when we go to bed in the night, you know, there's no guarantee that we'll wake up, you know, the next day. You know, just under 2 weeks ago, my cousin, who was 21 years of age, this is exactly what happened to him. He went to sleep, and he did not wake up. So I have a cousin named Arlene, and her son, Caleb, who was 21 years old, just under 2 weeks ago, you know, he went to bed, and he didn't wake up. You can please kindly keep my cousin Arlene and the family in your prayers. But I think that's something that we can all, and most of us do this, I'm sure, but I'm just encouraging us and reminding us, and specifically for the young people, to take some time early in the morning, once again, to thank God for the day and ask Him to bless your day. Point number two is to remain in prayer. To remain in prayer. You know what the Word of God says about praying without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. When we wake up in the morning, and of course, you know, we acknowledge God, we talk to God, so that's prayer. But remaining in prayer throughout the day, if you have, whether it's a test at school, something that's, you know, maybe there's a bully, going back to what we talked about earlier. Whatever challenges, whatever is going on, maybe fears and anxieties. We talked about fears earlier on and how fears shouldn't cripple us from accomplishing our goal and staying focused. But whatever it is, we should constantly be in prayer. And that's really how we develop our relationship with God, is through our prayer lives. So to continue in prayer, even throughout the day, not just in the morning. The third point is to limit the distractions. To limit the distractions. And I'm talking specifically to the young people here, but not just the youth, even us as adults, and I'm guilty of it, and I'm sure many of us are all. These things here, these devices, these mobile phones, cell phones, can be the biggest distractions out of anything. And we all understand that. Certainly there's a lot of good that we can do on our mobile phones. They help us to stay connected with each other. We have immediate access to, you know, tons of information online. You know, we can access the Word of God. We can do research and things of that nature. But I would certainly encourage, you know, particularly the young people and all of us, there should be some time in the day, and I know my wife and I, we do this, you know, with our kids. We have to limit their activity on their electronic devices, otherwise sometimes they'll stay on them all day long. Because it really can be a distraction. And particularly those perhaps who are teenagers or young adults, and once again, perhaps even some older adults, you know, there's this thing called social media, which we're all familiar with, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. There's so many different types of social media. What's the new one that the young people... TikTok. Yeah, my kids, they love their TikTok. Oftentimes, you know, these platforms, you know, social media can, and in fact does, serve as a distraction. And oftentimes, you know, if we're being honest, we're perhaps consuming very negative media and very negative images and things of that nature that we shouldn't even be allowing into our minds, into our spirits. So we need to limit our distractions. Step number 4, simple. Serve God. Serve God. So once again, this is encouragement for the young people, for the youth, and for all of us. We've all been given gifts. So regardless of if you're baptized into the body of Christ, or you know, you're young, or maybe you're considering baptism, you're of that age, regardless, we should always look for opportunities where we can serve, particularly within our local congregations, how we can contribute to the body of Christ, how we can be active members within the body. Once again, we're talking about practical points of that we can do and incorporate into our lives to help us to stay focused, focused on God and focused on our calling. So get involved, serve God, serve the brethren, serve the church, serve the body of Christ. And the fifth point, which quite possibly could be, the most important one, point number 5 is to remove sin from your life. To remove sin from your life, which of course is a process. And when we're in the Passover season, specifically the days of unleavened bread, you know, that is really the time where we're taught, you know, about that whole process of, you know, de-leavening and getting sin out of our lives, ingesting the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, putting off the old man, once again, focus on our calling and removing sin from our lives. Please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. Because this point here, brothers and sisters, and once again specifically addressing the young people, it's so crucial, it's so important in terms of really developing, establishing and developing our relationship with God, the ability to, you know, remove sin from our lives and to follow God, to be obedient to His Word, to be obedient to our commands. This is such an important element, such an important point of us being focused once again on our calling, being focused on what God would have us to do. Because when it comes to distractions, things that would either make us fearful, things that would, you know, derail our thoughts, derail our minds, things of that nature, those are all, I submit to you, brothers and sisters, things of the enemy, things of the devil. Here's what it says here, Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking onto Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, did he not? He endured the cross. That's what Passover is all about. Despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. Once again, removing sin from our lives. So the encouragement to the youth and to all of us here, once again, we are in the midst of a pandemic right now. It is, if you want to call it, a crisis situation, uncertain times. We don't know what the future holds. You know, specifically now we're in what they call the second wave of the virus. We see the numbers going up. Perhaps it's only a matter of time before the numbers hit, you know, four digits, you know, over 1,000. And I'm talking locally here in Ontario, our province of Ontario. We don't know what the future holds. But let us be encouraged, young people and all of us, that despite the circumstances that are around us, despite the things that, you know, we're surrounded with or by, we have a calling. We have a Father. We have a Lord. We have a Messiah. We have a goal. We have a mission. We have a responsibility. You know, in the sermonette message, which I really appreciate, Brother Landon was talking about, you know, soldiers in an army and how they have to, you know, be focused and be laser focused on their goal, on their target. And certainly they can't allow any room for any kind of fear to enter in. They have to be completely in the zone, completely focused on their task, on their goal, what it is that they are there to do. And same with us. Once again, we're in uncertain times right now, and none of us knows what the future holds. But regardless of what the future holds, let us be encouraged to know who holds the future. Who holds the future? Because He is ultimately in control. He doesn't want us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to not, you know, be focused on what we should be focused on, which is every day growing in the knowledge of Him and His ways. So let's take these 5 points, which I'm going to quickly go over one more time as I wind down. Number one, begin the day with God. Number two, remain in prayer. Number three, limit the distractions. Number four, serve God. And number five, removing sin from our lives. And just as we're encouraged to do during the days of unleavened bread, it's not just a matter of removing the sin, that's just one aspect of it. But the other aspect of it is replacing it with an appetite for Christ. Replacing it with the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us be focused on the King and the kingdom of God. Despite the crisis, despite the situations around us, let us focus on God and the kingdom. Bless you all.